Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, November 25, 2020. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Illinois Impact. 14 of 68 COVID-19 patients at Carl Urbana in ICU. 7-day positivity rates for Region 6 state fall again. The number of coronavirus patients in the ICU at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana has more than doubled in under a week's time, from 6 of 69 COVID-19 patients last Wednesday to 14 of 68 on Tuesday. For the fourth straight day, the 7-day positivity rate for Region 6 was headed in the right direction, from 13.7% to 13.4%. And for a third straight day, the state's rate was also down, from 10.9% to 10.4%. Men in their 80s and 90s became the 47th and 48th Champaign County residents to lose their lives to COVID-19, health officials said Tuesday. 20 of the county's deaths have now come in November, while 60% of Champaign County's confirmed COVID-19 cases have involved residents 30 and younger. 69% of its fatalities have been residents over 70. That article by Jeff D'Alessio. Salvation Army on the Lookout for Bell Ringers by Anthony Zillis, Champaign. With a thick red Salvation Army mask pulled up above her nose and nearly covering her eyes, Tanya Peters stood well behind the red kettle outside of Prairie Gardens on Monday night, ready to accept donations in a socially distanced manner. To Peters, though, bell ringing this year doesn't feel all that much different than last year when she first volunteered. "It hasn't changed anything," she said. "I think people are still eager to give. I mean, as long as you're 6 feet away." Of course, this year is different for Salvation Army and its bell ringers. Bells and kettles are sanitized, hand sanitizer is provided at each location, and bell ringers are required to wear masks and gloves and keep a social distance from the kettle. "We are trying to think of anything and everything we can do just so the volunteers feel safe," said Major Randall Summit, who heads the local Salvation Army. "That's the biggest issue this season, making sure the volunteers feel safe so they're willing to try and volunteer." With some locations already open for business, Summit said the organization still has 6,000 hours of time to fill by bell ringers at its 27 locations in the community. Some organizations, like the county's Rotary Clubs, Fisher High School, and others, have already taken chunks of hours, but individuals can sign up by going to registertoring.com, registertoring.com. Giving a small amount of information about themselves and signing up for a time. "We're trying to make it as simple as we can and be as helpful as we can," Summit said. Bell ringers are still encouraged to interact with donors from a safe distance and can even play some types of instruments and singing, as long as they are following protocols. This year, Summit said the organization has dropped its goal from the $180,000 it received from its kettles last year to $158,000 because of the pandemic. As of Saturday, it had raised $22,000. "I have no doubt we'll make that. We'll probably blow it out of the water," Summit said. "But I'd rather be safe than sorry, because we don't want to have to cut programs, especially this year. There are just too many people in need. Too many people come and go on a regular basis every day, needing food and water bills and electric bills and the rent paid. There are just too many people in need, so we just want to make sure the programs are running all year round. We are just so thankful that, even though we're all going through difficult times, there are others who are going through an even more difficult time, and the need is there. And Champaign County has never let us down. Giving back. She's cookin'. Real estate agent preparing meals for a handful of food-insecure elderly residents. It's very rewarding to be able to give back. By Ben Zichterman, Champaign. When real estate agent Debbie Obel began cooking meals in March for elderly people with various dietary restrictions, she thought she may be doing it for a few weeks. 8 months into the COVID-19 pandemic, she's still at it. I usually cook on Tuesday nights for however long it takes and then deliver on Wednesday morning, Obel said. She then repeats the process on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings. I'm chronically tired, Obel said, but it wasn't a tough choice to help. Someone she didn't want to name reached out to her about cooking for some food insecure senior citizens, and she said, of course. I'm known for my cooking and also for cooking mass amounts of food from scratch for clients and parties and things like that, she said. I cook 14 meals a week for 21 elderly people who are food insecure, which is a lot. The residents range in age from 82 to 97 and have various restrictions from gluten and lactose intolerance to low-fat or low-sodium diets. She uses containers with different colors to keep track of who can eat what. Sometimes it feels like algebra, Obel said. She makes them lunch and dinner with enough for leftovers and tries not to repeat meals too often, except tacos. There's always a taco night, she said, though even for that, she uses different meats for each week. Obel has made roast pork, pasta, kale salad, chocolate applesauce cake, cherry cobbler, roasted squash, a pizza kit with gluten-free or regular dough, a minestrone soup kit, Cuban sandwiches, and tacos. She delivers the meals in a cooler, following strict safety precautions. I use a curtain rod to lift the lid onto the coolers, she said. I wear gloves and use disinfectant wipes. Obel is financing the project on her own. We've had some people be generous, but it's really expensive, she said, especially since she goes for higher quality ingredients. I don't want to feed them crap. She received some donations, including squash that were used for the minestrone soup and 40 pounds of tomatoes that were used for marinara. I put it in freezers, she said. If I had a big freezer, it would help a lot. As challenging as it can be, Obel has her system down and said adding help would probably be more trouble than it's worth, though she is getting some help for this week's Thanksgiving dinners. Obel sounded less concerned about her challenges than with those of whom she's helping. It's very rewarding to be able to give back in such an important way, she said. I believe you have to give back, and part of what makes you a part of the community is giving back instead of just sucking out. From the Illini Insider section, My Turn, Tom Killeen. The SHIELD program lets us see the whole iceberg, not just the tip. Three distinct islands stand out as COVID-19's second wave has surged across Illinois and sent positivity rates spiraling into double digits. On the University of Illinois system's three campuses, rates are a fraction of the state's seven-day average, thanks to a comprehensive program founded on breakthrough saliva-based testing pioneered by our brilliant researchers in Urbana-Champaign. Known as SHIELD, the homegrown innovation has been a game-changer, holding rates at less than half of 1% on the Urbana-Champaign campus and about 2% or less at the system's universities in Chicago and Springfield. How? The saliva-based tests are cost-effective, allowing frequent blanket testing of everyone, whether they have symptoms or not. They provide fast, reliable results so people with infections can be quarantined early, including people who are asymptomatic and would otherwise spread the virus unknowingly. A companion phone app logs test results, regulates access to buildings, and limits spread even further by alerting users if they are exposed to other users who have the virus. The SHIELD program lets us see the whole iceberg, not just the tip. More than 900,000 tests have been administered to date across the U of I system. We are casting a wide net that has allowed our universities to continue significant in-person learning safely this fall, while many of their peers remained online. It has helped us spot flare-ups and crush them before they become outbreaks, and it will help keep families and communities safer as students head home for Thanksgiving. SHIELD's success, rooted in the cooperation and sacrifice of our students, faculty, and staff, has caught the nation's eye and made it a model in the fight against COVID-19. It has been showcased in national media outlets, including CBS, CNN, and CNBC, and the prestigious National Institutes of Health is leveraging our expertise as it works to improve testing nationwide. The U of I system is also aggressively working to share the groundbreaking protocol and meet a surge of demand that has only grown since the program was first launched. We are working with the governor to expand SHIELD's reach in Illinois and are currently in talks with well over 30 universities across our state and beyond, along with dozens of K-12 schools, corporations, units of government, and nonprofits. Just in recent days, we have made presentations to interested groups from right here in Illinois, to the United Kingdom and New Zealand. This month, Urbana's Granger College of Engineering also completed the prototype of a lab on wheels called Mobile Shield that will allow us to drive testing to exactly where it's needed. SHIELD is one of countless U of I system contributions to the battle against COVID-19, from world-class epidemiological modeling of virus spread to leading-edge clinical trials of vaccines and drug treatments. All are focused on restoring the way of life we now appreciate more than ever, and all reflect the land-grant commitment that our state's flagship university system has carried since its founding to help create the future, steer through challenges that stand in the way, and lead the way to progress. Tom Killeen is president of the University of Illinois system. Three cheers for former Harvard Law Review Executive Director Verity Winship, who joined the U of I College of Law in 2010 and come January will help lead it as the new Associate Dean for Academic Affairs. The four College of LAS professors named Richard and Margaret Romano Professorial Scholars for their leadership and research, Allison Bell, Evolution, Ecology, and Behavior, Alexandra Harmon Treat, Entomology, Bo Lee, Statistics, and Zhuo Wang, Atmospheric Sciences. Chemistry's Prashant Jain, who became the fourth U of I professor to receive one of the highest honors for early to mid-career scientists, a spot on Science News's 10 Scientists to Watch list. Assistant Professor of Immunology, Sum Nanjappa among 98 American Lung Association grant recipients who will split $11.55 million to research ways to combat and reduce the suffering and burden of lung disease. U of I professors Axel Hoffman, Material Science and Engineering, Stephen Long, Crop Sciences and Plant Biology, and Don Ort, Plant Biology, officially among the world's most influential scientists after being named to the 2020 Clarivate Analytics Highly Cited Researchers list. Mechanical Science and Engineering's Andrew Elaine presented with the top honor given by the Air Force to non-employee civilians. From the Our Counties section, Judy Swiger, a life remembered, Muhammad Seymour's theater goddess was always the first to welcome someone. By Dave Hinton, Muhammad. Dynamic, generous, and mentor are some of the words used to describe former longtime Muhammad Seymour High School theater instructor Judy Swiger. Ms. Swiger taught speech, drama, and English at Muhammad Seymour for 32 years and remained active in the theater community long after her retirement. But she was known just as much for her welcoming personality. She died last week at Carle Foundation Hospital at age 73. Larry Williams, who retired from St. Joseph Ogden High School after a similarly lengthy career teaching theater, said he couldn't have asked for a better person to show him the ropes as he student taught at MS in the mid-1980s. It was just an absolutely wonderful experience, he said. She was just so generous as a teacher mentor. She was a driving force in terms of being a mentor and a friend. Muhammad Seymour was well known for having a two-story costume wall. He said it was common that for area theater directors who needed costumes to approach Miss Swiger about finding a necessary item, and she was always accommodating. LaDonna Wilson, drama director at Champaign Central High School, agreed. She would always let Central borrow costumes and was really the glue that kept many of the local directors in contact with one another, Wilson said. John Tilford, retired theater director at Unity High, said when he met her, he was instantly taken aback by her warmth. Through working with her, I learned patience, kindness, and dedication, he said. Ms. Swiger remained active in the theater community after her retirement. Several area instructors worked with her as she was a driving force in the Educational Theater Association, the Illinois Thespians. Ms. Swiger took over as state director and started a workshop for student leaders called Talent, which she ran for years. After she stepped down from that role, Williams took over, and she was there as a friend and a mentor, he said. Williams said the group would hold lock-ins that included workshops with the students from up to 25 schools. They would instruct student leaders during a weekend of theater training. He said he and Ms. Swiger worked together when she was also executive director of the Illinois Theater Festival. She also gave of her time by adjudicating shows that were under consideration to be included in the festival. She would be busy teaching, busy directing, but she would always take time to go see people's productions, Williams said. When Wilson became executive director of the festival, she said she was eager to have Ms. Swiger in charge of hospitality because she knew her winning personality was the perfect fit. In that role, she met with anyone new to the festival, like she had with me years before, Wilson said. She made them feel welcome and let them know they could ask her anything. Originally from Dalton, Ms. Swiger earned her bachelor's degree in education from Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas in 1969. She earned a master's in theater history from the University of Illinois in 1986. She spent her retirement years traveling the United States and overseas, including Africa and Australia, with her travel buddies. Judy had a very loving, caring, inclusive personality, Williams said. She was the kind of person who didn't really know a stranger and was always the first to welcome someone and make them feel a part of the group. Miss Swiger was the perfect person to attend a comedy presentation because her laugh would set the tone, he said. You could always recognize her hearty, genuine laugh, he said. You could always tell when she was in the audience. She would be the one who would always get the laughter going in the crowd. Tilfer called her a mentor, encourager, theater goddess, but most of all, a dear friend. Village of Ludlow. More water mains to be replaced in project's first phase. Low bid came in at $1 million under estimate. By Dave Hinton, Ludlow. The village will be able to replace more of the community's water mains during phase one of its project than originally thought. Mayor Steve Thomas said the low bid for the first phase came in about $1 million below the project engineer's estimate, which will enable the additional work to be done. He said SNC Solutions, Inc. of Gibson City submitted a bid of about $1.3 million, the lowest of five bids submitted, to overhaul the water plant and replace about half of the town's outdated cast iron water mains with PVC pipe. Thomas said the village will use a USDA loan and grant totaling about $2.3 million to pay for the project. The village will be responsible for about 23% of the total cost. The oldest water mains in Ludlow were installed in 1947, all 4- and 6-inch cast iron pipes. With the additional money available, the village will be able to replace another 40% of mains. Done a lot of work for us. One of the owners, Tom Curtis, lives in Ludlow. We know their work, and obviously you root for the local guy when you can. With Tom being involved, I think he'll watch our back. The project will also include the installation of remote water meters that can be read digitally from the street. Those meters will be installed in the areas of town that get new mains. Thomas said the village has had to put up with a great deal of aggravation with water main breaks. Thomas said work on the water plant could begin soon. Champaign County Crime Stoppers, suspect sought in Rantoul shooting. By Mary Schenck, Champaign. Crime Stoppers of Champaign County needs help finding the people who exchanged gunfire in a Rantoul neighborhood earlier this month. At 9:48 p.m. November 12, processed by a third-party answering service. Tipsters are always 100% completely anonymous when tips that lead to an arrest. Talk of the towns. St. Joseph. Due to recent high winds, the St. Joseph Public Works Department will make an additional brush pickup the week of December 7. Leaf pickup will conclude the week of December 4. Tolono. The Tolono Public Library this week is giving away take-home craft kits for ages 5 through 13 to create festive fall placements. Sadorus. Members of IBEW Local 601 put out the village's Christmas wreaths and fixed the wiring. Ogden. Mean Mugs Bar and Grill has opened in Ogden. The restaurant serves food with a Cajun flair. Villa Grove. Representatives from the Chamber of Commerce will drive around. Has been hired as the Douglas County Health Department Emergency Response Coordinator. He replaces Adam Balthwis, who recently accepted a job in Northern Illinois. Paxton. The Paxton-Buckley-Lodaw School District has set up mobile hotspots in three of the district's surrounding towns: Lodaw United Methodist Church, Christ Lutheran High School. Crime Report. Area police report the following activity: Champagne, Asian Supermarket, 1215 North Prospect Avenue, unknown male robbed store of cash about 2:10 p.m. November 18. See you at home, 70 East Washington Street. 64-year-old man beaten with pipe by a 47-year-old man who ran away about 8:15 p.m. Sunday. 900 block of West Marketview Drive. Power tools, flashlight, and battery among items stolen from vehicle about 6 p.m. Sunday. 2000 block of North Prospect Avenue. After 4:30 p.m. November 18, someone forced open a door to a building under renovation and stole power tools. 800 block of West Church Street. Vehicle broken into after 12:30 a.m. November 17. Leather jacket, wallet, car charger among items stolen. 1400 block of North Mattis Avenue. Unknown man threw a bottle and pipe at woman's moving vehicle from his about 7 p.m. Friday. The bottle injured her finger and the pipe damaged her vehicle. 60 block of East University Avenue. Package containing about $800 worth of gift cards stolen from delivery area November 17. 1700 block of Paula Drive. House window broken about 1:30 a.m. Friday. 300 block of Kenwood Road. Jimmy John's delivery driver had food stolen from her about 7 p.m. Thursday. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, November 25, 2020. Please stay tuned.